Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock here on a soggy East Coast. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for At Home with Victoria, and thanks for taking the time out to listen to it, even due to this great television night and everybody rejoicing that the furlough in Washington is finally over. The lovely news lady is not with us tonight. I mentioned last night that her doctor lover has taken her away on a romantic vacation on their 10th anniversary. So she is actually at an undisclosed location, soaking in the sun, or so I am tending to believe. Tonight's guest is Trisha O'Kelly, the lovely, the beautiful, and the funny Trisha O'Kelly. You may have known her from such shows as The New Adventures of Old Christine. She's been on Frasier, 2 and a Half Men, Everybody Loves Raymond, Suddenly Susan, but she's most noted for her role as Marley Earhart on The New Adventures of Old Christine and her work in the independent film Weather Girl. I adore this woman. I think she's a hoot and a holler, and she's starring in a new movie that'll be airing on the Lifetime Network on October 19th called Missing at 17, so we'll find out what that's all about. But before we get to her, let's play a little bit of music. This is Jackie D. Williams with Unite With Me, and when we get back, Trisha O'Kelly's going to be in the house. Don't go away.
You
unite with me. And now please unite with me in welcoming a woman whose talent is only eclipsed by her beauty.
What?
Tricia O'Kelly joining us all the way from California. Of course, honey, we know your beauty.
Oh, that is the sweetest. Hi, how are you?
Hi, my love. How is your night going?
Well, now it's going great. Thanks for the nice words.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Before we get started, Tricia, I want to ask you, how is Walter?
Oh, you know about Walter. He is fantastic. I mean, I kind of still can't believe that we got him back. For those of you who may not know, my dog was dog-napped and held for ransom in May, middle of May.
Yeah.
And the guys kept him for 2 days without, I mean, they called and tried to get money, and then we were planning on giving them the money, and then they, you know, got spooked and said they were going to keep him, and then we literally just had to sit there and wait to, you know, for them to call back, and they never did. So we just kind of took to the streets and were searching for him and got all over the, you know, internet and the news, and, you know, finally they got scared and gave him back. Thank God. But he is great. He's great.
Fantastic. And just to make mention, Walter's actually deaf.
He's deaf, which
made me cry harder when I read the story. You know, I just thought, what kind of asshole kidnaps a dog?
I know.
Number one, a deaf dog.
The thing about Walter is he looks like a puppy. He's 5 pounds, and he looks, you know, young and healthy, and he's spry, and, you know, and I think they thought that they could probably get a lot of money for him. You know, we were on the phone. I'm like, you know, they're like, well, we're just going to sell him. We're going to sell him. And I said, what are you doing? Just give him back to us. And, you know, he's 11 years old and he's deaf and, you know, nobody's going to give you that money except us. So, you know, and, but I think that's kind of why, everyone sort of rallied and, you know, strangers from all over, literally the world were trying to find Walter. And I think it's, you know, the combination of all those things, just the horror that somebody would steal a family dog, but also this little 5-pound, you know, 11-year-old deaf Yorkie and, you know, with the sweetest face in the world. And everyone was like, we must find him. And I was so grateful that all of these strangers were trying to help. It was amazing.
Well, I'm happy it had a happy ending.
Me too. It was awful.
Absolutely. Tricia, you're born in Massachusetts, grew up in Illinois, graduated from the University of Wisconsin.
Right.
What did you major in?
TV and film production.
Oh,
I decided to try and learn. I wanted to learn a little bit more about the other side of the camera because I was, you know, I knew that I wanted to pursue the acting thing, but, you know, it's kind of hard to work as an actor, and I knew that, and I thought, I should learn about the other side of the business and the other side of the camera if I want to actually do this with my life, but B, chances are pretty good I'm not going to be able to do this and make a living, so, you know, I want to kind of stay close and stay in the business, so...
Did you come from a big family, Tricia, or small, or what?
No, I've got one brother and one sister, and they're all still in Chicago. They're all still living in the suburbs of Chicago. Yeah, but
that's where you got your acting start in Chicago, correct?
Yeah. When I was 16. Well, really, when I was in fifth grade, I was cast as Huckleberry Finn in our little school production of Tom Sawyer, which is probably one of the first, you know, examples of genderless casting ever. and, you know, I just remember, like, for some reason I got some laughs, and I was like, what is this? And, you know, the applause, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm going to need to do more of this. So I started, you know, just learning about acting and buying books and, you know, enrolled in this little weekend theater group, but it wasn't until I was 16 that I got an agent and started, you know, auditioning for commercials in Chicago and that kind of a thing. So, yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. I'm old, Michael.
Well, I was mentioning to you before the show that I spent my day, you know, brushing up on your career and everything like that, and the only thing I couldn't find was your original Budweiser commercial.
Can I tell you the story about that?
Please do.
Many people don't know I have naturally curly hair. And they don't know this because it's always like straightened or curled or blown out or something on TV. But I do have very curly hair. And I was cast, it was a Bud Light commercial actually. Oh, wait, was it? Maybe it was Bud. And I was cast with a bunch of models. And I get there. It's a night shoot, and we're supposed to be all standing at this bar, and this, you know, this guy walks by, and it's slow motion, and he sees all of us standing against the bar. And these are all models, mind you, like a foot taller than me, gorgeous, gorgeous, and then me. And I was like, all right, I can do this, you know. And then suddenly we're about to shoot, and I hear somebody say, okay, cue the smoke machine. I was like, wait, what? Those smoke machines, are, like, it's basically steam. And I was like, oh, no. And so sure enough, within seconds, my hair is so frizzy and awful, and I'm convinced that is why that commercial never aired. because the camera pans across all of these models slowly, and I was the last one in line. And you know, by the time the camera got to me, it was just this non-model with very frizzy hair looking very uncomfortable and awkward, and I ruined the whole commercial. So I'm sure that's
the fuzzy-haired nappy thing on the end, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm that's probably why you couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, no, I certainly did look. Let's go back to some of your television. Very first movie I found that you were in was The 900 Lives of Jackie Fry back in 1998.
Yeah, that was actually a TV pilot. Sometimes when you do a pilot, isn't picked up to series, it's written down as on your like online resume as a TV movie. So technically it was a pilot, but that was not the first thing I did, actually. The first thing I did was I did a little recurring stint on The Young and the Restless right out of college.
Wow.
Yeah, which was my favorite soap opera at the time, and so that was kind of thrilling. And then the very first pilot that I did was a pilot called Nice Try. And that was when I was still living in Chicago, but I booked it in Los Angeles and came out and shot it and then blah, blah, blah. But so 900 Lives of Jackie Fry was technically the third TV thing that I did.
Oh, okay.
But you were close. I'm still pretty impressed.
I was very, very close.
You pulled that up. You're very close.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What project did you end up getting your SAG for? I love hearing when actors get their SAG because that's a monumental,
it is,
pivotal point in your career when you're actually considered an actor, a working actor enough to be paid union wage, you know?
Yeah. I think that was my Sears commercial. So I was still living in Chicago. Yeah, I was still living in Chicago. Was it Sears? I'm almost positive it was my Sears commercial, and I was still living in Chicago at the time, and I remember being really, really excited. And that's exactly what it is. It sort of validates. You're like, oh, wait, okay, people are willing to pay me to do what I love to do. And, you know, maybe... And I think that was kind of the first time that I thought maybe I can make a living doing this. So it was kind of thrilling.
Well, honey, you are making quite a living at it. I mean, I'm going through your credits from CSI Las Vegas. That was then. You were on the show Emeril. I don't think that was up for an entire season.
No, it was only on
six episodes. Was it six?
Yeah, maybe six or nine or something. Yeah. That was really fun, actually. I met some really good friends that are still my friends today, and he was a sweetheart. And, you know, it was kind of largely ridiculed when they gave him a sitcom pilot because he's clearly not an actor, but he was such a strong TV personality with all of his cooking shows and everything. And we used to get so protective of him and so defensive of him because he knew he wasn't an actor, you know, and he was just trying really hard. It was almost like he was trying for us, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like he needed the money. It's not like he needed the TV show to, you know. But people believed in him, and, you know, he never claimed to be an actor. He was just a sweet man, and that was a fun little time.
Yeah, no, I was rooting for it. And actually, the series I thought wasn't that bad at all. And I liked the fact that he was a non-actor because it kind of made it more believable. Plus, I was a big Emeril fan back then of the whole BAM shit and all that stuff. So, I mean, I was definitely buying it. I see
can
here,
I
too,
you
played a little...
Can I tell you how great our craft service was on that set? Do you know what craft service is?
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the best. He would bring food from home that he cooked. And it was awesome. Yeah. Sorry, what were you going to ask?
I was just going to ask, I noticed here you played one episode on the Hughleys.
I did, yeah. I think I maybe even did two. That was a long time ago. You are good. You're like James Lipton.
Kind of a little bit, but you know why I know that? Because a very good friend of mine, Dee Freeman, was on the Hughleys.
Freeman.
Dee Freeman. She was the skinny, pretty black girl that was Mr. Hughley's girlfriend.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Gorgeous.
Funny.
Gorgeous.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Sick in the head, I tell you. I love her.
And DL was really, really super cool and nice.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot to do on that show, but I remember everyone being really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to my most favorite role of yours as Miss Marley, the absolute bitchiest mother, Marley Earhart, The New Adventures of Old Christine, and your friend, your cohort, Alex Horner, together. I loved how you used to corner Christine. I was a big Christine fan, but I couldn't see past Elaine from Seinfeld. I'll be honest with you, but
yeah. Well, that was, just my favorite role ever, I think. Mm-hmm. It was just, honestly, that show, from the moment we got it to the moment it ended, was magical. Mm-hmm. Alex and I, who she played Lindsay, who was my partner in crime on the show, the other meanie mm-hmm. mom, and she and I are best friends in real life. We hit it off immediately. We hit it off so well, we met on the pilot, the first mm-hmm. episode. And we hit it off so well that by season two, I gave up my dressing room because it literally had tumbleweed, rolling through it, because I was never in my dressing room. I was only in hers, all day, every day. So finally, and when Wanda Sykes came on the show, season two, she had to, go to a different stage for her dressing room. So I ended up giving my dressing room to Wanda Sykes and just shared a dressing room with Alex for the remaining four seasons of the show.
Wow.
But we knew when we shot the pilot that it was something special. And Alex and I were only cast as guest stars. It was supposed to be just one episode, and maybe if the show got picked up, it would recur. And after we shot the pilot and we knew how magical it was and we knew that it was going to get picked up, it was so good, we just kept saying, God, I wish we could be on the show forever, and oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day, we got a call from Warner Brothers saying that they wanted to make us regular characters. And we were, it was just a dream come true. Yeah. And Julia, I could watch her, I just said this the other day, I'll say it again. I could watch her quilt for 15 hours and be thoroughly entertained because she's such a genius. She's such a genius.
Yeah. So, now, you and Alex are actually, you're writing partners with TNA Pictures, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, we started TNA Pictures, and yes, we know that TNA has has other meanings, but
I wasn't going to go there.
No, we just thought that was really funny. Did people think we're doing porn? I don't know. But so we did. We started writing together in our dressing room, actually, on the set of Old Christine, and we realized that we just had this kind of great little partnership. We wrote together really well, worked together really well, and. And our ultimate goal is to, is to write something, create something for ourselves to star in. We've pitched a couple seasons, our own show, and once went out with Warner Brothers and once went out with another production company. Neither got sold, but we're still going to try someday.
Yeah.
Someday. Marley and Lindsay will be back together.
It's got to happen because the comedic genius, and I have to say the timing between you two and the level of deadpan is brilliant. And it's hard to master that, I think, especially for a comedian, to actually have that come off as funny as it's intended. Because sometimes when that falls flat, ooh, boy, crickets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Does that sound awful that I agree with you? No, I'm only saying that because, again, when Alex and I met, we immediately hit it off. We immediately had chemistry. We immediately adored each other and had that rapport and that back and forth and that, I think it just really translated well on camera.
Yeah.
Our relationship. Yeah.
How did you end up meeting Maren Hinkle? Was that on the cast of Two and a Half Men?
That was on the cast. No, actually, she was on a series called Once and Again with Cela Ward and Billy Campbell.
Oh, you're right.
You remember that
I forgot
show?
About
she
that.
Played,
yeah, I do.
Yeah, she played Cela's sister. And I did an episode of that way back when. And then we were reunited the first time I did Two and a Half Men in 2005 or whatever that was. And, you know, kind of bonded that whole week on the set. And then when I was doing Old Christine, our sets were really close together because they were at Warner Brothers as well. And then I thought of her when I was casting the role of my my two friends in Weather Girl. And I knew Alex obviously was going to play one of my friends, and I got her to play the other one. And she was brilliant, as always. She's just genius.
How was working? Absolutely. How was working with Pretty in Pink star on The Secret Life of the American Teenager, a show which I've never watched really because it wasn't, you know, I wasn't in that
demographic. You're not really the demographic, yeah.
Well, I am a 14-year-old girl at heart. It's just that I just didn't go ahead and catch that. I am too. There you go. Something about me.
Well, I never got to work with Molly Ringwald. I think I maybe met her, you know, in the cafeteria one day or, you know, and in the makeup trailer or something, but we never had a single scene together, ever.
Oh, really?
I did work with the other Pretty in Pink star, John Cryer, in both Two and a Half Men and Weather Girl, and he is delightful. Delightful, delightful, delightful.
Yeah, he's an absolute scream.
Yeah.
Tricia, we're going to go ahead and take a little break, go back to some music. This is Hal Stevens with Get a Room. More with Tricia O'Kelly when we get back. Don't go away.
Thanks.
I can almost hear your two hearts pounding. I can almost feel your passion's heat. All her breathless yeses are resounding. Now, may I suggest you take one last request? Get a room, get a spot where you can show her everything you got. Have you any shame at all? Take a wear, size like hers, will likely not upset the customers. Get an uncluttered closet, get a stall. There are those of us who'd never be so bold. We'd be glad if we hatched a hand to hold. You're in love, oh how sweet. So you want to sweep up the feet, get a broom, get away now. Get a room. Could just turn away and I'd be fine. Show some mercy on this lonely heart of mine. Be a pal, show you care. If you ever do come up for air, we have no more to say now.
Get a Room. You can find him on Reverb Nation as well at reverbnation.com/Hal Stevens. Joining us in the room tonight, Tricia O'Kelly. Tricia, let's talk about Weather Girl. I actually went on Amazon.com and I paid the $9.99 and I'm keeping that movie.
I thought
it was a hoot and a holler, honey.
That is awesome. That makes me so happy. Such a labor of love. I mean, I know people say that all the time, but it really, really, really was. You know, Blaine Weaver is a friend of mine, and he wrote the script, and he was planning on, I had done a much lower budget movie with him in 2005 called Outside Sales. Much lower budget, total, like, you know, all of us sort of doing everything, and you know what I mean, like when it just the epitome of independent movie, the way independent movies we're supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
And I had such a great time. He's such a great director, such a great writer, such a great friend. And he wrote this, and we always knew we were going to work together again someday. And he had written the script, Weather Girl, and he wanted my opinion before he sent it out because I am a woman and this had a female lead, and he kind of just wanted to get my take on it to see if it sounded right, if it was kind of accurate coming from a female voice and yada, yada. And I was like 9 pages in, and I emailed him and I said, I don't know if I'm still going to love this on page 92, but as of right now, I think we should just make it together. And I said, but, you know, stand by and let me finish, and then I'll let you know.
Just to let you know, I am Sylvia.
Yes, exactly. And, well, I think it was even originally written for somebody maybe 5 years younger, and I was like, so you'll have to change the age a little bit, and then let's do it. But it was, I mean, we raised the money by ourselves, and I called every friend I could think of who's an actor and who I love to work with and who I think would be perfect for the part. And, you know, like Jane Lynch, for example, I'd worked with her on Old Christine. And there was a part for the role of my boss was originally written for a man. And I just kind of, I kept picturing her voice when I was reading the script, and I was like, can we change this to a woman? Because I think she would just, you know, kill this part. And she loved it and was on board. And I'm telling you, just getting her name attached, I think really helped us get some other great actors and to get, you know, the money and that we needed. And it was just an awesome, awesome, awesome experience. It really, really was. And a great learning experience, too, because I had never produced a single thing in my life. So I was,
I was going to mention you also produced that as well. And, yes, it was a great cast with John Quire, Blair Underwood. Also, Maren was in that as well as Alex with you. Like I said, it was almost like if The New Adventures of Old Christine and Two and a Half Men had a marriage, Weather Girl would have been the child.
Yeah, well, it was like a CBS thing, too, because we also cast Mark Harmon, who is the star of NCIS, right? And then,
you know what, I have to give you credit. I'm going to interrupt. I have to give you credit here because within the 90 minutes, you made me hate a man that I've had a crush on for almost 44 years.
I didn't make you hate. He made you. He was so
good. Yes,
and that was
absolutely.
So brave of him. That was so brave of him because he is just like beloved across the world as just like the nicest man in Hollywood. And he read this role and he thought, I have never done anything like this before. I've never played a character like this before. And but what was so brilliant about it is that he did some horrible things. His character does some horrible things, but you kind of feel sorry for him in a way. Like you don't, you know, maybe you hate him a little bit, but he's just so brilliant at what he does that like you're sympathetic at times, and he was just great. But it was his idea to dye his hair black. It was his idea to be very tan, and I just thought he was amazing. And then that's also where we met. I cast Caitlin Olson, who stars as Sweet Dee in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and we cast her in it as well, and she has become one of my very best friends as well. So it was just a great group of people. Patrick Adams, who played my love interest, is now the star of Suits on USA, and Ryan Devlin, who plays
That's
my brother.
That's where he's from.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God, I've been racking my brain all day.
How great was he? How great was he in that movie? And here's a little interesting tidbit. Ryan Devlin, who played Walt, my brother, in the movie, had originally come in for the love interest, Byron. And Patrick Adams, who plays Byron in the movie, had originally come in to play my brother, Walt. And we loved them both, and we were going back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I was like, I think we need to switch them. I think we need to switch them. And we just did. We flip-flopped the parts, and magic happened. It was just, they were just so perfect for, you know, the opposite roles that they came in for.
Yeah. No, like I said, I was in it up until I love the whole movie, but up until the end when Byron comes back, you're in the dressing room and stuff, you've already walked off the second time of the set and everything. And I kind of was thinking that in a perfect world, what would have happened was Blair Underwood would have chased after you into the dressing room and said, we love that, absolutely, you have your own show now, blah, 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 and that would have been a great ending. Because that way she would have got the job and the guy she wanted, she wouldn't have to compromise. I thought that's the way it could have ended. But, of course, that took my 2 bits.
Guess what? the original script had me anchoring my own show. It ended with, it faded into, like a dissolve from us kissing into me behind a desk giving the news. So it wasn't really, you know, a morning talk show, but I was kind of doing my dream job of doing real news or whatever.
Real news.
It just kind of didn't work as well as kind of as ending with the happy, you know, because our thoughts were it didn't really matter. Like, her lesson was success and money and all of that stuff
isn't as important
as finding somebody that you love. And
right.
So it was better to end on that. Like, I'm in love with this young guy who has kind of no prospects or whatever, and it's okay. I just probably lost my job, and that's okay because I'm with, you know what I mean? So we kind of thought that was a better place to end. But you're not too far off because that's...
I'm glad you explained that to me because now I can certainly see it. This is how wonderful my job is that I get to go ahead and watch this stuff and say,
I know.
How come this
you
happened?
Realize you realize we've just given away the ending to everybody listening.
Spoiler alert. Anyways,
spoiler
go ahead and
alert.
Check it out if you have it on Amazon.com. The title is Weather Girl. It's available actually as a rental and as a free download. Not a free download, but as a download as well.
Right.
Fast forwarding to a very unhappy – I was unhappy that this wasn't greenlit by NBC, but Downwardly Mobile –
yeah.
I read the synopsis and I thought, wow, this would be something I would certainly watch. But tell us a little bit about the premise and exactly what happened with that.
Well, this was it was a pilot for NBC called Downwardly Mobile that was starring Roseanne and John Goodman. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of the pilot to get that year because it was the big reunion between Roseanne and John, and it was on their network. And actually, no, I think their original network was ABC. But, you know, it was kind of a hot ticket item that season. And so what we all kind of just assumed it was going to get picked up and to series. Plus, NBC needed a lot of new content that year. So we were really just kind of counting our cash. We were like, when is this going to series, and when can I start, you know, relaxing and spending money, you know. And it wasn't. But while we were shooting the pilot, the other supporting cast members and I kind of formed this amazing bond in a very short time. We were all sort of around the same age and had, you know, all worked a lot in our careers, but still sort of waiting for that one thing that kind of took us to the next level, and we just had a lot in common and a great chemistry and formed this great friendship. And so after we found out that Downwardly Mobile was not going to series, we kind of were devastated, and we thought, you know, well, we have to work together. You know, we thought we were going to work together for the next 7 years, and what now? And so we just started meeting every week, you know, a couple times a week, and just started brainstorming about what to do. And I don't know if this is segueing into your next question, but...
You know it is, honey.
Okay, do you want to ask it, or do you want to just keep going?
No, I was going to say, all good things, you know, happen for a reason, that kind of a thing, because from Downwardly Mobile comes a Bitter Party of Five, an H2R production with Jason Antoon, Mary Birdsong, Greg Cromer, and Romy Rosemont, and yourself, where basically you pay five, I think the thing is minimally successful actors and stuff like that, interviewing their successful actor friends, which I did, I caught it, probably around the first of the year, February, I think it was. Is it possible that it could have gone back that far? Because I know there's 11 episodes.
Yeah, we the first one aired in September 2012. So we've done a little under one a month, and we're starting to amp that up a little bit.
Which is absolutely hilarious. Now, here's what I have to ask you, though. I know it has to be scripted to a certain level, but how much of what I'm watching is scripted and how much of what I'm seeing is absolute off-the-cuff ad-lib?
Do you want to guess?
You know what? I'm guessing there's an outline and there is some sort of keyword words placed here and there, and I think you guys just roll with it because the timing is so fast. I don't know if that could be possible to write that in with everybody hitting the marks at the same time. So that's just what I'm guessing.
Well, it's all we do is we meet the day before the shoot. We usually shoot three celebrity guests in one day. So three interviews, three episodes in one day.
Okay.
So the day before, we all meet with our questions. So we have,
you know, options. So maybe I'll come in with five possible questions to ask Martin Short. And the group will say yes to those two, and you can drop the other three or whatever.
Right.
And then if somebody wants to do it, there's a section in most episodes called Cold Reads, where we give the guest a cold read, and they do a scene with one of us. And so if somebody has an idea for a cold read, they'll say, hey, I thought of doing the, you know, the famous, you know, the last scene of Notting Hill with them. Oh, yeah, that would be great. And that's it. The rest of it is totally improvised. So we know
Brilliant.
That some questions are going to be asked. We have no idea how the guest is going to respond. We have no idea how we're going to respond to their response. And then a lot of other things come up from their responses that or their answers that – you know, weren't talked about at all. So I was 99% of it is improvised.
Yeah.
It's all,
I would have guessed that. And you know what? I will say I like to use the term to describe Bitter Party of Five is deliciously uncomfortable. Because
good, that's exactly what we want.
Good, because
that's exactly
sometimes,
what we're going
sometimes the stuff that comes out of Jason's mouth and especially Greg's too is I almost have to look away, but I'm laughing very hard inside. If you
yeah.
know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. It's great. I mean, like, really, we you know the guests have no idea what we're going to ask. We just tell them, you know, anything goes. You can play it however you want. You can mess with us. You can answer earnestly. You can whatever you want to do, you can do. But they have no idea what's going to be asked of them, and we have no idea how they're going to respond. So it's, you know, a lot of times, I don't know if you've noticed, but in a lot of episodes, you might see me hiding my head in my hands because I'm laughing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely. No. I've been looking at that, too. The most uncomfortable episode for me was the episode you did with Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yeah,
I didn't know if that was supposed to be non-funny and very uncomfortable or if it was supposed to be as hilarious as it could have been.
Well, Jason and Yvette are friends, so.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, that makes me feel better, absolutely.
So it was supposed to be, hopefully, hilariously uncomfortable to those who are watching, but for Yvette and Jason, it was just, you know, fun and games and whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was going to say that or ask that, so I was, like, horrified. And then I realized that, like, they joke like that and whatever. But, I mean, I was just as comfortable as those watching. But how great was she in that episode? I mean, she was
just
brilliant.
Oh, absolutely. And trying to have her contribute to your child's private school fund, I thought was a nice touch as well. Not to give any spoilers away. You can find Bitter Party of Five on YouTube. Just YouTube it / Bitter Party of Five.
Actually,
all the episodes are there.
Can I chime in real quick? We're now on Blip TV. We're on BlipTV.com.
Even better.
And, yeah, and our latest episode with Tony Hale from Veep is exclusively on Blip TV right now, and then we're going to launch it on YouTube, you know, in a few days or something. But find it on Blip now. You can be, like, the first to watch.
Fantastic. You know what? I want to play a little game with you, too. I'm just going to go down some of the guest stars that you have on there and give me two words to describe your experience with them, okay?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Let's do it. Rachel Harris.
Kissed her.
You did, and you really went in there.
I know.
You didn't mess around.
Stephen
Root.
Love him.
Martha
Plimpton. Does it have to be two words? Okay. Want to be her best friend. That's like four words, but I want to be her best friend. She's so cool.
Really?
Yeah.
She is hilarious, actually. You know, I remember her from Parenthood, which I you know watched that movie frequently. It's one of my constants. Dot Marie Jones.
Just want to curl up in her arms and let her hug me and hold me
adorable.
And rock me to sleep. She's amazing.
She's freaking adorable.
And
her role on Glee.
She's amazing. Yeah, we've actually become good friends since then, and I just love her.
Good. Chris Colfer.
Genius. I'm going to make that two words. Genius. 22 years old. Genius. So impressed by that kid.
And you know what? I say this with love. Such a talented little puke.
Oh, my God.
You know
God.
What I mean? He's pretty. He's young. He's written three books. He sings like an angel. He's got the skin of a... Ugh. Anyway,
he's adorable. And me too.
Allison Janney.
Super sexy.
Yeah.
She is super sexy. Love her.
Smart is sexy all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of just an amazing woman.
Yeah. Laura Benanti.
Wanna be her. Actually suggested to the group that they recast me and hire her because she was so good.
I was looking at her too, and I knew her Tony work and stuff like that. But I was wondering, was she in the movie The Change Up with Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds,
Ooh.
Or was it someone else? She looked like that woman. I couldn't even find it. Plus, I was too lazy to look it up at this point. But
I don't know. I have no idea. We didn't talk about that in the episode, but I have no idea. I will look that up.
Okay. And your great friend, Caitlin Olson.
Just life partner. I want to grow old with Caitlin. I really do. We have our little, when we text each other, we end our texts with the icons of two old women, because that's showing us living together in, 30 years. Yeah, life partner.
That's incredibly cute, and I really did enjoy when they were saying that she was the detailed version of you, kind of a thing, that you were the gently used.
I was
stuff,
the gently used version of
absolutely.
Her. Hilarious. I know.
But seriously, really funny.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was really fun. Really, really fun.
Love, we are here with you through my lovely friend, Sherry Goldberg, who I adore up there in L.A. You are going to be playing in the Lifetime movie, Missing at 17, that actually airs on Saturday the 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
You are starring opposite Ayla Kell. Your friend Maron Hinkle, Alex Carter, one of the sexiest Canadians. And I found out that he was actually, his real name is something like Alex Stephanopoulos.
Stephanopoulos or something. Yeah. He's very, very Greek and a really, really great guy.
Sexy as hell.
Yeah, he is.
Ben Gavin as well from Super 8. And Brandy Glanville is actually making her acting debut from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And don't think I don't watch that show and wasn't thrilled to
work
with her.
I
was
so excited. Absolutely.
So excited to meet her.
And actually, you know what? I was looking because Lifetime doesn't actually put up clips of anything that isn't actually premiered, but actually, I think I found it on some other thing that actually it was the clip of Brandy when you can't make it to do the makeup scene and stuff, and she's calling you from the trailer and stuff. And you know what? Quite frankly, say what you will about Brandy Glanville. She was good.
She was really good. And, she was nervous. Like, she knows she's not an actress, she doesn't have a lot of experience doing it. And, she was a little nervous about it or whatever. And then she did it, and I was like, what are you talking about? You were great. She was great. Yeah. And really, really fun to work with. I had a great time with her that day.
Yeah, I think she's maybe just a little bit gun-shy just because of, her past with, that's what happened kind of a thing. And it's hard to come into that kind of career when you know your husband's already established and everything like that. But, kudos for her. I hope she's going to do well. Go ahead and give us a breakdown of what the movie's all about.
Well, I play Shannon, my 17-year-old daughter, played by Ayla Kell, finds out that she was adopted, and she does not find out from me. She finds out in kind of an awful way, and she runs away. And so it's kind of like, I'm searching for my daughter, and I believe her to be in danger, and she ends up, finding her birth mother, and I don't want to give away anything, but her birth mother is played by Maren Hinkle. And it was kind of a terrifying role for me, to be honest. I read the script, and I almost passed, because as a mom, it's your worst nightmare, losing your child and worrying about, believing that they're gone forever, believing that whatever, the worst thing has happened to them. And I read the script. I was like, I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. I don't even want to think about that, much less, say these words and act this out. And, I think it's just too much for me. And at the end of the day, that's kind of why I agreed to do it, because I was scared by it, So it was definitely a challenge as an actor, but also as a mom, to play that role. It was pretty intense.
Yeah, I can't imagine, because you have two daughters, 3 and 5, Avery and I can't remember, Avery and who?
Avery and Charlie. Avery's 5 and Charlie is 3.
Charlie's three, yeah. So, yeah, no one wants that to happen to their child, runaway or nothing
that
whatsoever.
So, you know what's so strange is while I was shooting that was when Walter was stolen. And, you know, I knew that he was with bad people. And I was literally on my knees sobbing, not sleeping, thinking this is going to kill me. Like, this is going to kill me. I don't know if they're hurting him. I don't know if I'm ever going to see him again. And I thought this is the worst thing that I've ever been through. And I can't even imagine if it was my child. You know, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
And that actually happened while I was shooting. It happened while I was on break from finishing the movie. So I had 4 days off. And then I had to go back for 2 days to finish the movie. But within those 4 days is when that happened with Walter. It was just, you know, I was like, I could not believe how devastating that was. And then imagine your child being, you know, lost or taken or whatever. It's just your worst nightmare.
Wow, Walter was giving you sense memory teachings beyond, absolutely.
Yeah, well, it was funny because when I had, like, this big scene where it was, like, I thought she had – I don't want to give anything away. But this big scene where I really had to, like, dig down deep and think, you know, what if. And I walked away from that day, and that was the day that I was kind of dreading because I was scared. And I walked away from that day thinking, you know what, I think I did a good job. I actually really went there, and I allowed myself to go there, and I think, you know – and I was kind of proud of myself. And then it was literally the next day that Walter was stolen, and I was on my knees. I was like, oh, you know, in retrospect, after I got Walter back, I thought back, and I was like, well, maybe I didn't do that kind of a job, because now I know what it's really like. You know, it was nuts. It was just very, very, very challenging role, but I'm glad I said yes. I'm glad I said yes. I'm glad I did it.
I smell Emmy.
No, stop it.
I smell Emmy. We might as well put it out there.
No. Oh, that's hilarious.
Missing at 17 goes ahead and premieres on Lifetime Channel October 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Go ahead and check it out. Fun facts about Trisha Kelly, Trisha O'Kelly. She has a greeting card line, too, called Heart Songs.
I do, yeah. Did you want to hear about it?
I certainly do. I know it's available at Target and where else?
Wherever recycled paper greetings, papyrus cards are sold. So,
I love that part of it.
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 15 years. You know, some years I spend a lot more time doing them, and then some years I don't. But it's been a kind of a great creative outlet for me for a long time. And I just did it, you know, when all of my friends and I were, my friends from home, we were all turning 30 one year, and I've known them for 30 years, and we're still very close as adults, and I wanted to, you know, make them all something personal for their birthday. And so I made them all personalized kind of 30-year-old, you know, birthday cards. Mm-hmm. And while doing it, I kind of realized I really liked it and had sort of a knack for it. And so I started submitting to Recycle Paper Greetings, just them at the time. I knew they worked with freelance writers or artists, and I also, you know, they were the greeting cards that I was always drawn to. I liked their cards a lot. And anyway, they started testing a few of my designs and then, you know, paying me for a few of my designs, and I worked as a freelance for about a year. And then at the end of the year, I was, you know, under exclusive contract with them and showcasing at Target. And then it was just kind of thrilling. The whole thing was really thrilling.
Wow.
I'm just now starting to do some new lines of cards and starting to kind of test those as well, and that's kind of fun too. So we'll see what happens with those. But Heart Songs have done really well over the years.
Well, fantastic! I love a good hobby that makes money. You know what I mean?
Me too.
Absolutely.
You find what you love, and then find a way to make money doing it.
Beautiful, 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 darling. Honey, I know your babysitter wants to go home and everything like that. Trisha, it's been an absolute delight chatting with you tonight.
Oh, so much fun.
So, absolutely. I'm glad you had a good time, hon. But
I had a great
huge
time.
Continued success. Success with Missing at 17. We'll see you at the Emmys. But seriously, continued success. Huge love to Adam, your husband Adam Rosenblatt, and your two little girls and stuff. And I look so forward to having you back. When you've got stuff in the hopper, please give me a call or Actually, I sent you a friend request on Facebook, so you know that kind of thing.
I am totally accepting that friend request.
But seriously, when you have stuff doing, please come back and stuff. You're a true delight, and I just adore you. And big success on Bitter Party of Five. I think that's going to go bigger than anything.
Thank you. I hope so. That's what we're hoping. And thank you so much. And really, just thanks for giving me the time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Say love to everybody on that little cast. I think they're all twisted, okay?
Okay, I will. Bye, Michael.
Love
thank
you, doll.
You
take care.
Okay, bye.
That was Tricia O'Kelly, charming and beautiful and so very talented. You can go ahead and check out Bitter Party of Five on YouTube and also on Blip TV right now. Also, just to remind you, Missing at 17 will go ahead and air on Lifetime October 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank everybody up in chat for At Home with Victoria. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host. We're going to end with a little bit of music from Mr. Jason Dodley. It's Our Night. Good night, everybody.
It's Our Night. It's Our Night tonight.
Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.